So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan. Hope you're well today. So it is a Friday. It's absolutely pouring it down again, just for change, here in Spain. Winter. God, we've lived in winter for years, it feels like, doesn't it? It's not just me, is it, right? It feels like... I know we've been in pandemic for the last... just put my other light on. I know we've been in pandemic for the last, 2 years, really. And, you know, since the start of 2020, and we're in 2022 now, 3 months in. But it just feels like, in the last 6 months, I just feel like we've been incredibly difficult. Much harder. I think it's just slogging on, isn't it? The whole thing slogging on. Then, of course, once we get rid of a pandemic, we get the Ukraine thing going on, and what's next? Anyway, today, let's talk about how to deal with unsupportive people in your life. I'm very fortunate today in that I don't have unsupportive people in my life. Generally, I just don't have them. And, you know, there's this big thing about cancel culture. I love cancel culture. Let's cancel everything. I love it. It's like if somebody disagrees with me vehemently and then starts calling me names... And then I block them, and then they moan to someone else, oh, he can't handle it, why is he blocking people? Fuck off, why would I put myself into a position where I'm allowing someone negative to come and give me all their jibber-jabber, crazy fools? Why would I do that? And so I don't do that. I just tell you to jog on. Because I don't need that in my life. If I want unsupportive people, I got to speak to my family. That's not true. I go back to family court and just live there, highly unsupportive for dads. So I don't need to be surrounded by people who are not going to be positive in some way. And also, I don't want to be around people who don't bring something to the table. If I'm not around someone who goes, come on, Dan, you've got this, go for it. Why the hell would that person be in my life in the first place? Why would I put up with that? And you might say, well, I'm married to that person. I'm very fortunate. I'm married to a lovely person who supports me, and hopefully I support them. But I get that other people are not in that situation, and you're going to either have to make a decision as to whether to stay or leave. Neither of those is easy. And if you're going to stay, you're going to have to come up with some strategies that are going to enable you to survive that and thrive. And that's really what this is about. It's not about telling people to jog on, but I... Trust me when I say I'm more than happy to do that. One of the things that I've put myself into a position of is I don't need anybody. Like, I don't need my wife, but I want her in my life, right? And I know that she thinks the same about me. She doesn't need me in her life, but she wants me in her life. And when you reach a point in your relationships, not just with your significant other, but with other people, where you actually want them to be in your life rather than you need that other person... then the whole thing changes significantly and your whole quality of life changes significantly as well. But look, if you're going to stick with people, some people you can't get rid of, you know, you got a prison for murder. I'm not advising you to do that, obviously. But if you've got no choice and you have to stick with these people, that's what really this is about. And these people can be things like family. It can be brothers and sisters, mums and dads, daughters and sons. You know, we've had issues with all of us all the way through. My daughter's 16 going on 17. I highly expect she's not watching this, but we've had our difficulties in the past. That's for sure. Usually brought on through family court as it happens. What a surprise. And you wonder why dads give up. So let's go through then. First one then is you need to plan without them. Like if you've got a significant other and they're always giving you all of this. Now, there's a couple of caveats here. I saw a guy... And he was on Twitter and he took his girlfriend's savings and invested them in Bitcoin without telling her. Now, as it happens, Bitcoin went up, okay? What sort of crazy idiot would do that? Like, first of all, from her point of view, he is the unsupportive boyfriend. If you're in a relationship and you can't actually discuss money, you're in the wrong relationship. If you can't discuss this stuff openly and in a mature way and somebody else goes and makes these financial decisions without you having any say so, I think you're in the wrong relationship there. And for me, that's red flags. That's danger. Like, is that a controlling boyfriend? I don't know. I'm not here to say, yes, it's a controlling boyfriend, or no, it's not, or whatever. I'm just here to point stuff out that whilst I'm saying plan without them, I'm not saying plan their life without them, right? Because it's their life. But if you are making a decision based on, and there's a line here, right? And it's up to you to decide where that line is. But if you're making a decision based on, say, your business, and, you know, I discuss my business with my wife all the time, right? And when I say I discuss the business with my wife, she's like, yes, dear, that's interesting, dear. Really, dear? And I'm like, have you even listened to what I've said? And half the time, more than half the time, I'm actually just voicing. I'm just spouting off my frustrations or my positives or my wins. And she will do the same at work. And obviously, I listen to everything my wife tells me because I'm a modern husband. Come on, fellas, back me up. But in my business, I come up with an idea and I go, oh, we're going to go do this. And she's like, okay, dear. And I plan, okay? And now, if I've got someone who isn't supportive, who's negative, and I'm planning, and their negativity is like, well, that's not going to work. Well, why are you doing that? Now, obviously, if it's your significant other, like your partner, your wife or your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever, that's something you've got to have to discuss, okay? Because that has bigger implications on your life, right? But if this is like your brothers and sisters and your friends and your extended family, like this is what really what I'm talking about, because this is where you should just plan without them. I think Henry Ford said it the best. Your reputation is built on what you've done, not what you're going to do. So if you're continually telling people, well, do you know what? I'm going to buy all these houses. I'm going to go live in Spain. I'm going to live by the Med. We're going to go paddle surfing Monday mornings at 9:30 a.m. And your friends and family are going, yes, Dan, of course you are, Dan. Whatever you say, Dan. What the hell are you telling them for? How about you just go do it like we did? And then that way, you get to control the conversation. It's like you might have be able to say, you know, I'd like to be able to do that. And then, you know, just put sow the seed. That's what I'm saying here. Sow the seed with them. I don't go into detail. Go do the work. Go get the results. Then move to Spain. Then go paddle surfing and show them the goddamn video. That's how you do it. So tell them what you've done, not what you're going to do. You've got to plan everything. And, you know, there's so much lack of planning when I speak to potential clients and I go, well, what are you going to do when you do this? And, you know, your customer lands on your website. Where are they going to go then? I don't know. Okay, well, why have you not planned that? You're posting out on social media. What do you want the first step to be? Well, I want to be famous. I want to be popular. Okay, for what purpose? To generate cash. Got it. Okay. So now you post out on social media, you send them to a particular page, and so on. And then what do you want them to do next? And so this is always about planning, and you should be planning everything that you're looking to achieve in the next 5 to 10, 20, 50 years. Everything should be planned, because if it's not planned, it's not going to happen. Highly, highly unusual for you just to fall onto success. Oh, look, oh, £1 million. Oh, just walking along the beach and there I found it. Some people do that. Very rare. So you've got to plan without them. Next bit is you can tell them afterwards. You know, I remember my maths teacher. So I was 14, 15 in high school. Could you imagine me in high school? I was there. It wasn't pretty. My maths teacher, I'd be looking out the window and she would, you're daydreaming. You know, that's not going to get you anywhere in life. She's daydreaming. And, well, it did, frankly. I was dreaming about the life that I wanted. But this is where you should be telling people after you've got the results. You could say, you know, when you've bought the Ferrari, you could say, do you know what? I dreamed as a young boy that I'd always have a Ferrari. Like, that's so different than as when you're 17 to 22 going, I'm going to have a Ferrari one day. And the people who are unsupportive, they're just laughing at you. One of the things I remember distinctly is my accountant, and you tell him your hopes and goals and dreams. We're going to double our revenue in the next 12 months, right? And he'd say something like, well, I wish you luck with that, Dan. You wish me luck? Not go for it, or you can do it. None of that. Well, wish you luck. And it's the way that they say it. It's like, you ain't doing that. And then guess what? We doubled revenues. We doubled it for 4 or 5 years in a row on that lettings agency business. We were doing a large amount of revenue before the 2008 crash. And so it's like telling people up front, it's just not going to open yourself up. Your reputation is built on what you've done. Okay, so build something, take claim for it. Be proud of what you've done. I mean, our podcast downloads, for example, we get thousands of downloads. Don't know what happened to the voice there. We get thousands of downloads every single week. And I'm so proud of that. But if I had started 5 years ago and gone, do you know what? We're going to have thousands of people listening, downloading our podcast every single week. People just laugh at you. And so it comes about having done it. Like, then you can brag, but don't brag beforehand, brag afterwards. And I don't really like the word bragging, so maybe we change that. Let's talk about your negative environment. So one of the real keys to success, there's two really big keys to success. The mindset one, because that's where we live, we're going to talk about in the next section. But the second bit is your environment. Your environment is absolutely one of the major keys to your success, okay? Like, I can't even stress how vitally important. If we took taking action, mindset, and environment, they're the big three, right? And actually, I would go probably 40-40-20. 40% mindset, 40% environment, 20% action. Like, if you're taking action, but you're taking the wrong action and you're going in the wrong direction, taking more action doesn't solve that. Getting your environment right and getting your mindset right, that's really where the success comes from. And then you take action, because then the action that you're taking is high quality, it's efficient, and it's all heading in the right direction. So it's 40-40-20. Mindset, environment, action. 20% is action. And I know people go, 80% should be action. And I kind of get what you're saying there. But you need to be in the right place mentally, and you've got to be in the right environment. And the right environment, let me just explain what I mean by that. So the right environment doesn't mean Leeds or London or New York or the Med, right? That's not what I mean. The right environment means the people that are surrounding you. So if you're surrounded by negative people, I remember in sociology when I was 14, and I was saying, we were talking about why wealthy kids get better results than kids that come from poor families. I'm like, but you know, the education level's the same, the intelligence level's the same, the level of knowledge is the same, so what's the difference? And then he explained, you take one child who's in an environment where it's positive and nurturing, and then you take another child where the parents are alcoholics and having a go at each other and on benefits and all of that kind of thing, spend all the money on booze or fags. This child is easily going to do better than this child, generally. Although this child, now I'm older, might actually use that as motivation more than this child, okay? But it takes a while for that to happen. So that's just something I wanted to point out there. But if you can create a positive environment, not just for your kids, because we're not talking about kids here, we're talking about you. So what does that look like? Who are the people that you're hanging around with? Like, I'm sure you've got that negative friend. That negative friend who talks behind your back, what do they know? They think they're so good at that. Like, why have them in your life? Get rid. And if you can't get rid because it's your aunt, uncle, brother, sister, mum or dad, son or daughter, husband, partner, whatever, then obviously, you know, that's a lot more difficult. So you've got to balance the negativity. So if your negativity in life is 80% versus 20% positive people, okay, is there a way that you can swap that around? So you've only got 20% of people in your life that are negative and you've got 80% positive. And this here comes around to your network. And I know you've heard the term, your network is your net worth. And I know you've heard that. But it's not just about going to networking events and meeting one-off random people. It's about building a squad. Who's on your bro team? Who's on your team? Who's Team Dan? Who's going to support you when you're feeling down? Who's going to be there at the end of the phone when you need someone to chat with? And building up this group of people that you can just immerse yourself into for when you're feeling negative. So one of the things I would used to do is I would go on training courses for self-development. And interestingly about self-development, everyone who's on a self-development course has been fucked over at some point, right? So they've been totally screwed over and they're messed up. Like when I was doing my NLP training, honestly, the level of messed up people that do NLP... But so they get it, right? They understand. And you can move into that supportive environment and they will be Team Dan, even if it's just for a few days. And I miss that. You know, the pandemic has been one of the things that's really affected doing that. And I truly miss being in an immersive environment where that's happened. So you've got to find a way of meeting other people that are going to be more positive so that you can begin to slowly replace that negative environment. If it's 80% negative, 20% positive, can you get it to 70% negative, 30% positive, 50% negative, 50% positive? And you do this by building up a network of people and a list of things that you can go do. There's always a firewalk somewhere going on in the UK right now. Is there a networking event? Is there a support group? Is it Alcoholics Anonymous? Where is it? Is it some kind of male group for... I went to one of these, by the way. It was a male group for dads who were struggling with the transition to being a single dad and also struggling with family court. And I went to one, and it was one of the most negative experiences of my life, because what people did, because they were suffering with severe trauma, being lied about in court and not being able to see the kids and all of that kind of thing. It was just a very intense experience, and not one that I would wish to repeat. And I know that those people have absolutely the best intentions, but they are going through trauma, and actually they needed counselling and that kind of thing. So maybe something like that isn't the right thing, right? But it's up to you to go and take a look and make a conscious decision. Actually, is this helping me, or is this just another negative thing for me? And that's what you want. You want something that's going to support you. Like, I'm a great believer in telling people what I think. I'm a great believer in a warts and all approach. But even I, as warts and all as I am, understands that actually having empathy for people and moving that person into the right environment is really important. I'm just not great at it. I'm so good at being a more straight up dude who's going to tell you what you need to hear than, oh, you know, I'm sure you've heard this. I heard it when I was 18 in college. If you want empathy, speak to your girlfriends. If you want advice, come to me, as we would say to our girlfriends. And I wondered why I was single for so long. last bit then is compartmentalizing. And the word mental in there should be highlighted, because this is really what compartmentalizing is. It's about taking a situation or a number of situations which then feels overwhelming, okay, or a number of people that are all having a go at you and it feels overwhelming, and just putting yourself into a little box and putting that box over to the side so that you can operate inside that box away from all of this. And so one of the other techniques that you could do. So when I used to be in bad debt, and I used to have, you know, significant bad debt, I had like 80 grand's worth of credit card debt. I think everyone's got this story, by the way. All entrepreneurs have this story of, oh my God, I was in so much debt and I was missing payment. Everyone's had that story, and it's kind of like a negative thing. But, you know, as entrepreneurs, we try and turn it around and use it as a positive way. But when I would get mail through the post, it was one of the most depressing things. You owe this amount, you've missed this payment, you've got this bill, this has gone on. One of the most depressing things. And one of the things I actually changed back then was that I would actually only open my post Friday mornings. And we called it Shit Fridays, right? So, and it's Shit Friday mornings. So you get over post and you pile it all up, and then Friday mornings, you know it's going to be painful, right? So instead of it being painful Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then having a day off on Sunday where you just stress about the week, we would just have a painful Friday, and we'd open up all the posts, and then we'd sort it, and it would allow us to plan better rather than being depressed every day. Because if you're depressed every day because you're getting all these bad letters saying you owe all this money, how's that going to make your day? How efficient are you going to be able to perform Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Not very well, I can tell you from experience. And so obviously it's not financial advice, this, and it's not financial advice. But for me, that worked incredibly well. We just say that to protect ourselves legally, and say, in case, you know, you get a letter on a Monday saying bailiffs are coming tomorrow morning and you don't open it till Friday. I don't think that actually happens, by the way. Bailiffs just turn up. So, but it allows you to plan. And those other times, we do this with grief. Sometimes if you're going through grief and you're running a business, like, the grief can affect the business. And of course, the grief is going to affect the business because you're in grief, right? But if that then affects your business, which affects your livelihood, which then affects your family and your kids and your workers' kids and all of that kind of thing, the fact that you're going through grief is irrelevant. You still have to perform at work. And so compartmentalizing the grief over to one side and go, do you know what? I am going to grieve, but I'm going to grieve between 9 and 12 on Tuesdays and Fridays. Like, I know that's really difficult, and that can also cause some mental problems later on, by the way. But whilst you're going through the seven stages of that grief and you still have to perform, you're going to have to perform. You just have to do it. It's not like you can just switch that off because your business goes bust and then you go bust because of the grief of whatever has gone on. So I get that that's very difficult as well. But maybe you can compartmentalize that, and you could do it the opposite way around. You could say, you know what, Mondays, I ain't grieving shit. I'm going to knuckle down. Every time my mind moves back onto it, I'm going to come off it. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to put my effort in because I need to feed the kids and the family and my employees' family and so on. Like, I get that. I get how difficult that can be. But if you still got to perform, you still got to perform. And we know this. If you've gone through grief, you still have to perform, right? Life doesn't stop. And the bills don't magically stop coming through. But being able to compartmentalize when you've got somebody who's being quite negative in your life. It's like, if you've got that person, I'm not saying that you remove that person entirely. One of the funniest things I heard was a guy, and he said, you know, I love my parents, but they're so negative. But I do love them, so that's why I see them at least once a year. Once a year. And maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you compartmentalize that relationship to Friday nights down at the pub for 3 hours, and you turn that friend who's negative, and you never talk about the stuff that they're usually negative about, like work or money or whatever, right? And you turn that friend into a different type of friend. Maybe it's your snooker partner, or maybe you go watch the local game, the football or the basketball or whatever sports it is, and you go watch that game, and you stay away from dangerous topics. And so you compartmentalize that person into a box, and you go, that's the person that I go play snooker with, or that's the person that I go to the library and read with. I don't know, I'm making shit up, I don't know. But being able to compartmentalize, and also one of the really cool things about all of these, by the way, is that when you start implementing some of these, you actually get much better at it. So the compartmentalization either of yourself with other people or of other people with you, when you start doing this with other people, you can start doing it with all sorts of people. Like, have you got a drinking buddy who's the most hilarious person, but they're useless to everything else, useless with money? Great. Compartmentalize them. That's your drinking buddy. Off you go. Just, you go and have beers. You don't talk about money. You don't talk about work. You don't talk about entrepreneurship. But then you might have somebody who's really good at entrepreneurship and they're the most grumpiest person on the planet. Great. What's the environment going to look like for you to be with them? What makes them happy so that you can still have a relationship with them and still learn from them from entrepreneurship, but actually they're not as grumpy because you put them into their favourite environment? So there's quite a lot of subset stuff going on that you can utilise here. So look, I hope that's useful for you. That'll do us for today. It is a Friday. So we will catch up with you again on Monday. I hope you have a wicked, wicked weekend. Stay safe, and we'll speak to you then. My name's Dan Latto. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.